It's your SNL Stand By Line podcast with your hosts, Jill and Amanda.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stand By Line.
Hello.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
I already said hi.
I was trying to introduce ourselves that way. Oh. All right, well, I'm Amanda. That's Jill.
I'm me.
Yeah, so this episode, we're going to talk about season 45, episode 4, Chance the Rapper pulling double duty, which we have to stan.
Chance the Rapper and Chance the Rapper.
I love that. First up, news, not really a lot going on, but we have three podcast episodes that you can listen to. One is the Adjust the Crown podcast. We mentioned it last week. Cecily Strong is now on with Rashida.
Yes, Ego, go listen to it.
Yeah, it's so good. Ego Nuodum is on a podcast called Spanish Aquí Presents, so check that one out. And Heidi Gardner was on an episode of Las Culturistas, who, I mean, I think we've mentioned before, but Bowen Yang hosts that.
Bowen's podcast.
So he's there every week. But Heidi is a guest this week.
Very fun stuff. All right, so we can just jump right into the episode then. There wasn't as much this episode as previous ones that was, like, as far as, like, cut stuff.
Only three cut sketches this week.
Yeah, and the episode itself stuck pretty well. I mean, from dressed to live.
Yeah, I think like the whole first half of the episode was exactly the same in live as it was in dress, yeah. Which is rare.
So first we had the cold open, and the first thing in the cold open that Cecily had in live show, she had a shirt that said, you know, keep, what did it say, keep America great again. You know, like saying keep America great again, but just misspelled. In dress rehearsal, it was not a shirt. It was actually a sign that she was holding up. She had like a t-shirt on and plaid shirt over it. And then she was just holding up a sign that said that instead of wearing a shirt that said that. So that's interesting.
They must not have had it for production for dress rehearsal or something.
Yeah, it just wasn't ready, I guess.
Maybe. And then after this one, which we both really loved, it's one of those moments that you only get to see when you're in the studio. But, you know, she left the stage and left the floor after that part in the cold open, and we were just kind of watching the rest. But then she came back out and stopped one of the staff members and was talking to him in her bald cap and, like, her sweats, which I always think is just the cutest thing in the whole world to see them doing.
We don't know what about, but she had to come back out for something.
Yeah, I mean, I can't read lips, so.
Otherwise, the cold open was pretty much the same. Daryl and Fred were in it. That was very cool to see.
Daryl, for sure, doing yeah, Bill Clinton.
That was legendary.
That. Yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, I think that the cold open was basically the same in dress as it was in live. So there's not really much else to, you know, share on that one.
Nope. And so then we have the monologue, which, again, very minor differences. In dress, he actually said, before he started rapping, he said, they usually make a host and musical guest do the song, but I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm going to do that, but it's not a bad song. And he said something like that.
But otherwise, it was mostly the same. I mean, they changed, like, some pictures on the cards, some minor phrasing differences, maybe, but nothing, like, that stuck out.
Yeah. So our first sketch of the night was League of Legends, which Chance called League of Legos.
I love that.
So the one joke that Chance made when he was saying, like, they were asking him about what's happening in the clip, and he was like, he doesn't know. And in live, he said, like, if you know what's happening in this clip, you need to get a life or something.
Get out of the house
more. Out of the house more. In dress rehearsal, the joke actually was, if you know what's happening in this clip, you need to get laid. So that was funny.
I think it's so funny and interesting when they change little minor phrasings like that. I wonder if it's for ratings and things like, I mean, not ratings, but like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like censoring like boards or something to keep it like as PG instead of rated R, you know, or the equivalent.
Who knows?
I don't know. But next up we had First Impressions Court. This one was right after League of Legends in dress rehearsal as well. The first thing that stood out to us was when Chris Redd comes in opposite 80 and his hair is like halfway done and halfway not. Chance, as the judge, asked Chris about it, and Chris was like, well, she won't give me the money to get it fixed.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And Melissa actually took Heidi's spot in this one. In dress rehearsal, Heidi was playing that crazy lady with the funny teeth and stuff with the bad accent. And in live show, Melissa played it.
Although I don't think Heidi's teeth were done.
No, only in the live show, Melissa's teeth were done. So I don't know why they switched them, but I guess maybe, I don't know.
Well, later we discuss a sketch that was cut where Melissa had, like, a, you know, a sort of featured role in it. And I wonder if because they cut that, they decided to throw Melissa into this spot so she'd have screen time.
Well, I hope so. She deserves it.
And then, of course, we had Jason Momoa. And can I just say...
You spotted him first.
Well, and here's the thing. I did spot him first.
You literally went, oh my God, there's sure you said, like, that's Jason Momoa or something.
Because that's what I do when I see a celebrity and I'm just like, that's Kate McKinnon or like, that's Jason Momoa. But like, the thing is we only saw his back and I doubted myself for a second because there is some man, some member of staff who has long, dark hair who is on the floor every week. And I was like, that's Jason Momoa.
He's
and then I was like,
short, chunky man with long gray hair. How could you have them confused? Jason Momoa is a Greek god, and this man is a short man with gray hair.
I think I just thought it was too good to be true because I love Jason Momoa so much.
He was, he needs to
chef's
be,
kiss.
He needs to be a regular cast member because, first of all, no one loves doing SNL more than Jason Momoa.
That's
does.
A fact.
That
we
is
saw
a fact.
We saw
that
him
is
last
on Wikipedia.
Season.
You can look it up. It's a fact. I'm gonna add it right after this.
Yeah, but we saw him do the show last season, and he was incredible. Anyway, he was in the sketch, you know, with the nipple rings and that. Because why not?
He's so just so funny and good.
So genuinely funny without even trying. And there was this
He's
line.
He's willing to do everything too, like this.
So game for everything.
Who would put nipple rings on their nipples? And what did Kyle say? He made a post that
Mikey said that he saw Louis, the makeup designer, say he had to go and measure Jason's nipples.
He was like, Mikey said something, if you go look at his Twitter, he was like, in the middle of a conversation or something, and Louis FX or whatever leaves the room saying, well, I have to go measure Jason Momoa's nipples now.
Because he has the dream job. But anyway, in this sketch... After the line where Jason was like, well, she stole something from me first, and the judge says, what? Kate said, or he said, my heart. And then Kate's character, which was cut from the live show, she said, you knew what this was when we started it.
Which was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. I laughed.
All right. That sketch was great. And then we had the tasty toaster tarts, digital. Everything was the same. Just as digital.
I wrote down when I was writing down all the sketches. I could remember I wrote Dead Parents Digital.
Dead Parents. Diddy of the Damned. Oh my gosh, this was so funny.
We had the best seats for
yes,
this.
Yes. I was pretty disappointed in the live show audience because in dress rehearsal, everybody was losing it in the audience. I mean, it was fun. It hit very well in dress rehearsal.
So first things first, Chance was super amused by this in dress rehearsal. Like, you can kind of see it in live as well.
But he was off to the side.
But he was, like, off to the side when he was not on camera. He was, like, bent over laughing at the others doing their songs.
He was very tickled. And something cool about this sketch, the puppets in it, like the owl and the skeleton and the ravens, they weren't animatronic. They were actually puppeteers, like... Not puppeteers, but like they were crew members that were hiding behind the tombstones and they were actually controlling them.
Yeah,
so,
literally crouched down behind the tombstones.
And in dress, you could kind of see when they broke away from, like when they pulled the camera back, you could see them behind there. But it was very cool that they weren't just animatronics, they were actually being controlled.
Yeah, and another really cool thing, I always think it's so great to see the cast members' reactions to a thing. And in this one, you know, there was the screen behind it and the clouds were acting out the song lyrics.
If you didn't see.
I'm sure you did. But if you didn't, they were behind them acting out the song lyrics. And at the end of the sketch, Mikey, like, tapped somebody on the shoulder and he was pointing back to the digital screen. He was like, that was so cool the way they did that, because it was really neat.
It was cool. And after that sketch was over, literally on the same sketch, because, you know, the screens were there from the clouds and stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't like a green screen. It was literally like giant digital screens.
Like giant TV screens. And after that sketch was over and they were moving things around to get ready for Weekend Update, they were actually cycling the Weekend Update digital
like screens. Title card things or something.
You know how like they have the pictures when Michael and Che are doing... I said Michael and Che. Colin and Che are doing...
Their headline.
Update, yeah. They show the little pictures. They were cycling those pictures on the, like, giant TV screens they had just used for that sketch.
Yeah, I know there's a name for that, but I don't know what it is. Speaking of Weekend Update, in dress rehearsal, they did not say that bit about Trump tweeting something very big has just happened joke. Presumably because the big thing had not happened.
Yeah, I mean, what did he say? This just was tweeted an hour ago, which means it was not during... It was after dress rehearsal he tweeted it.
Yeah, and the thing was that the leader of ISIS was killed in a raid.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it was not the McRib.
It was not the McRib. No, ma'am.
So the next thing, the Trump brothers, in a previous episode where they were cut, they used the same Pins toys, like that little Pins toys Alex character was playing with. They had been on another Weekend Update feature one time, and they had my cat scratching at the door. If you guys hear noise in the background, like, it's my cat scratching at the
they
door.
They don't like being locked out.
They don't like being locked out. But anyways, he used that, like, pins and needles kind of press toy in another sketch where they had cut it. So they brought that back.
None of the Kanye jokes were in dress at all, which means, of course, neither was the Caitlyn Jenner joke that Twitter is losing their minds about. I don't know. We didn't hear it in dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
And the...
If we did, I guess we just don't...
I don't remember a single Kanye joke, so I cannot imagine that whole Kanye bit was done and we just missed it.
Yeah, I don't know. And if the Caitlyn Jenner joke was made, it was made in reference to something else. I don't know.
I don't remember the Caitlyn joke.
I don't either. And then the biggest upset of the night.
How dare.
I don't even know if I can talk about this.
The nerve. I cannot believe it. I'm outraged.
I'm speechless. I can't say
I'm heartbroken. Speechless.
They cut. There was another Weekend Update. There was two other Weekend Update features. Let's talk about this one first. So Ego was cut as Michael Che's aunt, who was recently blocked and then unblocked on Facebook.
She hasn't done that character before, right?
No, and I genuinely hope they bring it back because it was funny.
It was funny.
She was just playing like this old... aunt that Michael Che had blocked on his Facebook, and he unblocked her, and she was like coming back, and she was like, "Why'd you block me?" And they were just going back and
making
forth
jokes
about stuff.
like, "Oh, it looks so nice on TV, but this desk ain't is just one step up from cardboard."
She's basically like tearing Michael apart in his career, and it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny, and when we talked to her after, I was like, "I'm sad I got cut," and she was like, "Well, it'll come back another time, maybe."
It's so. Better.
It was funny.
And you know what better come back?
You know what else better come back?
Okay, we'll talk about
Listen
it.
Listen to me. I know we're biased, but also...
But, okay. Also, so, they cut Cecily Strong from Weekend Update playing Faye Dunaway.
Can I just have a moment? Moment of silence for Cecily's Faye Dunaway. No, really funny,
they
though.
They made a huge, big mistake. Huge.
Yeah, that's true. Jill talks shit every week, and she's just like, so is Cecily going to be on Update this week, finally?
I do. Every week I say, Cecily better be on Update this week. Well, no, I say it exactly how you say it. I say, so is Cecily going to finally be on Update this week?
It's been three episodes.
That's exactly what I said.
So.
I did. And week one, I said, it's been the whole summer. Then week two, I was like, it's been one episode.
Excuse me, we haven't seen Cecily on Update all season.
I really did say all season, all three episodes. It's because she should be on Update every week.
The characters are flawless. I thought it was so funny because Jill goes, oh my God, is that Cecily? And I look up and I see.
I know my girl.
She does, but I looked up and I saw her face. And first of all, I was like, that does not look like Cecily Strong because they had taped this woman's face to the gods.
Yeah, seriously. You remember that sketch she did with Will Ferrell where they were playing the reality stars and they taped their face back? It was even worse this time.
And she had dentures.
She had fake lips. Fake dentures, like
she was unrecognizable. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And like Faye Dunaway impression was spot on.
It
like,
was incredible.
Spot on.
She
sounded exactly like Faye.
Yeah, and what was it? It was something like, is she on a show or something? Whatever. It got cut because she was like production got cut because she was so mean on set, and she was like, so what? What's your point?
And then she was telling... Two other cast members were in it, so I was very surprised it got cut.
But this one joke was so funny to me. Like, it was so funny to her, because she rarely breaks character when she's doing Update. And she was telling something about this religious movie that she had been in, and she was telling the synopsis of it, and she looked at the audience and she said, this is true, and
kept going. Oh, yeah, she broke it, like, in her natural Cecily voice, in the middle of it, she goes, this is true. Just because
it was amazing.
I think she realized how, like, unreal and it sounds, but she was like, nope, this is true, guys. And then she kept going.
And then Bowen played her, like, assistant or something, and I think it was Colin, he was like, aren't you mad at the way that she treats you? And he was like, no, she's Faye Dunaway.
And then she made some joke about, she was making a gay joke, and she was like, I love my little gay assistant or something.
She said, bring my homosexual boy out here.
Bring my homosexual boy out here. And Bowen came out, he was like her assistant, and he was like, no, she's a legend. It was so funny. And then
I thought it was so funny because Mikey and Alex...
Oh my God.
Mikey and Alex had just done the Trump Brothers, and it's like Mikey jumped to a quick change, but his quick change was into a black hoodie with the hood up.
Yeah.
And he came back out and he was under the desk.
We don't know why it was Mikey, but it just...
It was so...
I guess because he was...
I don't know, but Mikey was playing this chimpanzee puppet.
Yeah. It was a capuchin monkey.
Okay, yeah.
Not a chimpanzee. Get your monkeys right.
I'm sorry.
Capuchin monkey.
It was a capuchin monkey, and it was... Cecily, as Faye, kept saying something like, Colin, are you wearing the feminine parfum? And he was like...
No, she was saying to Che. She was like,
she asked Colin, and Colin was like, no. And then she was like...
I'm not wearing the parfum.
And then she was like, it must be you, Michael Che. And he was like, it said unisex on it. But it was like, this monkey was like humping her boob and like nibbling her boob.
It was the joke that was her pet monkey because she's famous and rich. So she has this exotic pet monkey.
Because that's what rich and famous old white ladies do.
But the monkey was like crazy and she's like, you're getting him all riled up, Michael Che or Colin. She was like, you're getting him all riled up. And Mikey had his hand as the puppet and he was just like going crazy, making it look like the monkey was like attacking her and humping her. And it was like Mikey was clearly trying to make her break because
he was going so hard.
And Cecily was dying laughing. She was great.
And like her dentures looked like they were falling out. But as they were leaving the stage, like Cecily was behind Mikey as they were leaving to go backstage. And she like smacked him, presumably for how hard he went.
It was so funny, and I'm very upset and disappointed.
I guess, like, the good thing is that it's not necessarily super time sensitive, so we can bring it back.
I mean, like, I have nothing against the Trump brothers. I love them as reoccurring characters. I think they're really funny. But we have seen them so many times, and it's always nice when you get to see a new character on update.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, this season, I feel like we've only pretty much seen characters that we've seen before, and we haven't seen, like, a lot of new stuff. So it's kind of a bummer when new stuff, like we had two brand new Weekend Update characters that were both very funny that got cut. So that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah. So next sketch was the Love at First Sight.
The sketch of the night.
It's Jill's favorite sketch.
Wasn't it your favorite?
I think it was my favorite. I was just trying to think of what the other sketches were, but I think it was my favorite too.
It was brilliant. It was
real funny, and Cecily laughed. It was the love at first sight, floating in love sketch.
When she was on the wire, the
when
harness.
She was on the harnesses. I mean, she couldn't hold it together in dress rehearsal.
Even literally her first line in the sketch, she started laughing.
She was already laughing.
What was coming? We did not, but she did.
Yeah, and if you are watching it like the live show, of course, then you don't see how funny they thought it was. But they were like, they're breaking in live, but they were breaking so much more.
They put the harnesses on them so quickly too.
They really did.
They hooked them on. They were like a belt, and they hooked them together, and it was done very quickly.
It was really amazing to see. We were across the studio from this, but we had a pretty good view of it. And also, we noticed when we were rewatching. If you watch on, like, Hulu or YouTube,
yes, very
the second half of this entire sketch has been replaced with dress rehearsal footage. Because we watched that, and then we, like, went on another website to actually watch the live airing stream, and it's a totally different second half of the sketch.
And you can see it, too, on Cecily's Instagram.
Yeah.
She posted picture or videos about it. And it's funny because in dress rehearsal, the whole first part... I mean, Cecily and Chance were breaking hard.
So they couldn't use that.
Yeah. And then, in live, they weren't breaking as much. But in live, the whole second half with the whole... Cecily had said on her Instagram something like a scene that was supposed to take 10 seconds ended up taking 30 seconds. So it makes sense why when they put the episode to Hulu, they cut it and they snipped it in with the dress rehearsal part. So
yeah, absolutely.
That was just interesting. The whole sketch, I mean, it was pretty much the same in both except for those... different clips and the thing that happened with the purse and the chair and stuff.
We were thrilled to see Chance and Cecily just do something really fun and goofy together.
They love each other. I don't know if you guys saw us tweet it, but way back when, a couple years ago, Chance made a tweet that was at Cecily and it was like, Cecily Strong, in another life I would make you breakfast in bed every day for every meal. Like, he loves her, and she loves him. I mean,
and they hang out outside of work sometimes, too. They're both Chicagoans.
I don't know how you say it. Chicago kids. They're both Chicago kids. They both donate so much to Chicago. Like, they're close, and
absolutely.
Cecily's friend Rashida is close with Chance, too. So they're all, I mean, they're great friends. So it was really exciting to see them do something together.
Absolutely. Next up was the Space Mistakes Digital, which was the same. Digitals are basically the same. The same,
period.
I wrote the same.
Digitals are always the same. Once in a while, they're always different.
Not always, but mostly.
Yeah.
Dazzle Designs was next. That was Kate and Adie doing the local commercial thing is just really...
Did you see that on Twitter? Someone else said that.
Did they?
They said the local... I thought that's where you just stole that from. The local commercial.
But it's true because, like, the mom and pop Italian restaurant, like, the farms, the whole thing is just very funny and also kind of weird, but, like, it works for them.
Well, they're weird.
They are weird. In the best way.
But, okay, so basically... I mean, I know we say this every episode, we sound like broken records, but the reason, I mean, they really, when we say they break more in dress, it's because they really do, and it's because they've had...
They're getting their giggles out.
That is literally their first time doing it in front of an audience. And, like, technically, I mean, it's not live on the air, but it's happening live in the studio. So, really, when things happen and they don't expect it, they laugh a lot more and they get their giggles out. By the time it goes to live, they're at least expecting it. But man, in dress rehearsal, these two, it got to the point that they were crying, both of them.
It's because there was that one part in the sketch where they said something about pop radio or whatever.
Well, they looked at each
other.
And
they looked straight at each other and were singing to each other.
And you know they can't do that.
Adie immediately broke when she looked at Kate. It was so funny. And Kate was laughing too. And as the camera cut away from the two of them to go to the boys... Kate and Adie were both wiping their eyes because they had started crying, laughing so hard.
Kate was on Adie and, like, laying her head on her and trying to, like, hide her face. And Adie was just...
It was... And, you know, Adie's face turns red when she's laughing like that.
Oh, my God. It was so red.
It's so funny.
She was... Well, oh, my gosh. It was so funny. And, you know, Mrs. Rafferty, like, even think about that sketch. As soon as they look at each other, they start breaking. They must have some unspoken thing because... They can't look at each other without losing it.
Yeah. Is it Kate or is it Adie? Or maybe it was Leslie. Anyway, the point is those three are always breaking each other on like on set.
And when Kate was doing, we had a pretty good angle of this. When Kate was doing her, that one part when they said like, turn around and or shake your booty thing, or something.
Yeah, the shine.
Bounce your booty.
No, the shine distracts from when you're bouncing your ass.
Yeah. Oh, she said bouncing that ass. But yeah, she went hard on that in dress and we saw her fully dancing and she was like turned around like twerking
living her best life.
We loved how much that they were laughing so hard that they were crying because that's you don't see that a lot.
You said last episode you said I love those two together and it's true. It's just like blanket, like the two of them together are just so
because
funny.
You know they're always gonna break.
It's true. They're just best friends and you can tell. Finally, the last sketch of the night on the live air was the werewolf dance rehearsal. I don't know, it seemed to be mostly the same. We were a bit distracted during this one. We noticed that they did cut the first part of the sketch. There was just, I don't know, 30 seconds where they kind of introduce.
It's because that's what Cecily's took, 30 seconds with her purse.
It's true, they had to get rid of it.
She stole the 30 seconds.
She stole it. But it was basically Chance, his character, just being like, I want to see what's up with whatever the
Tony
guy's name was.
Tony
Chalice.
Something.
Charlize. I don't know.
Charlize Theron.
I don't know. But that, I mean, that was mostly the same that as far as we could tell. We do know that Keenan was getting his prosthetics done, like, just outside. When he goes out the door, that's where they were putting the prosthetics on his
face.
They had
his makeup artist crew member right there ready to go.
And I think if you look on Louis ZFX? On his Instagram, there is a selfie.
FX, I get it. Louis FX.
That's right.
FX. So is it?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Louis FX. I get it. So it's Louis ZFX. Louis FX. I get it.
So,
I just got that now.
That's nice. But anyway, he has a selfie with Keenan as they're doing that. It was good. So that's it. Now we go straight to cut sketches. Yes, ma'am. Three of them this
week.
Yeah,
we only had three this week.
I said this year. I mean this week.
Only three this week instead of the five.
First up, we had Bleacher Boosters, which was...
Eh.
Eh. I really thought they were going to... Let me explain. Beck and Chance are like dads watching their sons play football, and they're doing like a local sports correspondent situation. You know, like a TV cast.
I don't... Like they're like parents in the bleachers doing a TV show. Cast.
80 is married to Beck, and Kate was a friend of 80's, and then Ego played Chance's new girlfriend in that one.
Who they did not like.
No, the other moms, Kate and 80, did not like Ego.
Oh, we'll have to talk about their segment.
Yeah, it's in here.
Oh.
And it was basically they were just talking about football. They were talking about, like, having...
How much they love their sons.
Well, there was a part that...
their sons were robots, basically.
There was a part that was called, they did a segment, and they were like, now it's time for the segment, I love my boys.
And it was just Chance and Beck talking about why they love their boys.
And it was like, I love my boys so much, sometimes it looks like hate.
What did they say? I love my boys so much, sometimes I hit them because it hurts me or something.
Yeah. And like, I love my boys. But I can't say that, so I come to every football game and scream at them. Yeah. But they're doing it in, like, Chicago accents. Like, everybody remembers the Bears, and that's what I thought was gonna come, but it never did. And then Kate and 80 had their segment, which was called, Would You Look at Her?
Well, first of all, Ego came in later into the scene.
Yeah, they introduced her
that as she was Chance's new girlfriend. And she was, like, not...
She was young like and pretty.
Them. Yeah, she was not like them.
And she was talking about how cold she was, and she was going to go get hot chocolate. And they were like, you know why you're cold, sweetheart? Because that's a jacket, not a coat.
Wait, do you remember who... Chance entered the scene with a hot dog covered in mustard with no bun. And he sat down, and he goes, they were out of bun, so I just got the loose wiener. And he was, like, waving it around.
Yeah, and then Kate and 80 had a segment that they called, Would You Look at Her?
Would you look at her?
And it was like, would you look at her? You can't sit on the bleachers till you birth one of those monsters the size of a ham. Would you look at her?
And 80 said one part where she goes, and I ate tinfoil when I was pregnant with my boy, so they'd come out part Terminator.
And Echo asked why, and she was like, it's like a pill. It makes the baked potato go down easier. That was pretty funny.
And that was, I forget how it ended, but it ended abruptly and oddly, but that was it.
It was just like, and that's been, you know, that's been bleacher boosters or whatever.
Yeah.
Next up, we're calling it coffee shop.
Coffee shop karaoke. It wasn't really karaoke.
It was like open mic. Bowen and Heidi were hosting open mic, and Chance was playing this character who was like, quote unquote, woke, but he had just read an article the night before about feminism and found out about it.
He said, I read two articles or something about feminism.
So now I'm an expert.
Yeah, so now I'm an expert.
And then his punchlines were raps about those things like feminism, but I thought it was so funny. He was singing lines at the end like, these people are down on their luck. What the heck?
Instead of, you know.
WTF.
Yeah.
And then, like, who else? Melissa came on. She played, like, a Lana Del Rey-esque character, like a singer-songwriter, doing her thing. Beck came out. He was doing, like, electronic music. And then Chance came back on, and he goes, I just read another article. Did you know there are people who aren't rich?
What'd he say? There are poor people?
And he was like, this is a thing you guys could say sucks. What the heck?
Oh, and Bowen sang too, and it was funny. He was like, okay, well, if no one else is gonna go, I'll just do my piece. And he was just like singing in this monotone voice, and it was
something
funny.
Silly, like, this is about the worst thing that ever happened to me. My grandma's friend died.
Oh yeah. No, that was Melissa's song.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what Bowen's were, but they were ridiculous.
Heidi made a joke because Bowen had asked her if she wanted to sing, and Heidi's joke was like, oh no, I can't. I'm on vocal rest. I have a phone call tomorrow.
So they were just being funny. I mean, it was not unfunny. It was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, I get why it was cut, but I liked it.
Our last one was called, we're calling Dare, Don't Do Drugs. Amanda said it was okay. I thought it was funny. I was laughing during it a lot. Keenan and Chance were like brothers who were oddly wearing, did you notice, were wearing like Rastafarian color.
No, it was like 90s color block.
Well, it also happened to be the Rastafarian colors.
It was those colors.
So anyways, Keenan and Chance were brothers who found some kids who were like Chris, Mikey, and maybe Kyle Bowen. We don't remember, but it was Chris, Mikey. And basically the boys were talking about doing crack cocaine, and Chance and Keenan come out as two brothers and they were recovering addicts.
But they were also like trying to get the kids not to do drugs.
Yeah, they were trying to get them to not do drugs. But then when they started talking about how crack cocaine was, they were saying like, this isn't crack cocaine, this is, and they called it something else.
Well, no, he was, because they were saying like, don't do cocaine, that's expensive, and the kids were like, no, this isn't cocaine, this is crack cocaine.
And they were like, this is way cheaper. And then all of a sudden Keenan's character switch and he goes, now wait a minute, Where'd you get that?
How cheap?
Or he started, you know, in his Keenan voice that no one else can do, he was like, how cheap?
And then he was like,
how cheap that crack?
And he was like, but it's not as strong, right? And they're like, no, actually, it's way stronger. And he's like, what?
He was like, say what? But, and then Chance's character kept being like, no, man, stop. We don't do that anymore. We're trying to be better. And Keenan was like, but this is cheap. This is what, we've been waiting for.
And he was like, no, Chance was like, we don't do it anymore. And Keenan was like, because we couldn't afford it. Yeah.
He kept being like, this is the dream, man. And so anyways, Chance just kept being like, no, drugs aren't cool. So the kids eventually, basically, after going back and forth about this for a while, the kids were basically like, Chris was like, all right, you convince me. I'm going to throw this out. And Keenan was like, which trash can, though? Which trash can are you throwing that in? And basically, that was the whole sketch. Just Keenan doing bits like that. And
Keenan doing Keenan.
Yeah, that was it. I thought it was funny. And then, because we have to say it, because we said we would, every single episode.
Who's keeping count?
Fitbit. Well, it's been four. You can keep count by knowing which episode it is. So if it's episode four, that means Fitbit has aired four times.
100% of episodes this season.
I'm pretty sure it's going to air in every episode this season.
Jill and I were just like, why can't you just air like the David S. Pumpkin sketch for us?
Yeah, that was rude.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when we very loud, we were like, oh my God, again. And everybody turned around and looked at us and we were like, you don't even know.
We have to suffer through this every week.
Every week. I'm tired of this. And I always look over at Aubrey and Aubrey's the same way, just sitting there like.
Sometimes why? Saying the words along with it. I mean, 80's real funny in it though.
It's a funny thing. It's just that I'm tired of seeing it 11 times.
It's probably really about 11 times. Okay, also, one thing I would like to address that occurred.
Tea, we're about to spill some beans. That's a shout out to our friend Aubrey.
So, one thing that I would like to discuss is the fact that we saw someone taking photos in the studio. And here's the thing, you're not allowed to do it. We all know this. It's disrespectful. Lots of people grab one picture. Mm-hmm. It's still disrespectful to get one picture. But we watched this girl who was in the front and was right over where Keenan was getting his werewolf prosthetics.
Not in the front, like on the floor, like in the front.
In the balcony.
Yeah, in the balcony front row, right above the sketch. Yeah, where Keenan was. He would come out the door. And so they happened to be right over.
And they were trying to put his prosthetics for the werewolf thing on. And she was literally blatantly with her phone, leaning it over like the railing, taking pictures the entire time. I cannot tell you how frustrated and upset that made me.
It was so disrespectful
just
to Keenan.
Just so rude.
Yeah.
And it's like not even, he's not even performing. He's having his makeup applied.
And you know what? It's the equivalent to like paparazzi pictures. Like he's not asking you to do that. That's something that is like a, I don't know if private's the right
but
word.
But it is, but kind
like,
of.
It's just so incredibly disrespectful. And I mean, she must have taken
a ton of pictures.
And the whole time we were trying to get the page's attention because, like, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. And it's one thing if we see one person taking it, we're like, oh, they just took a picture. But, like, the fact that they were leaning over, taking pictures of him without his knowledge or consent.
Yeah, I have such a hard time calling people like that fans because I don't feel like you're a fan if that's the way you treat.
No.
Like the show and
like
the people.
You just want to do that for yourself to have the picture or to post it for like clout or whatever.
I think it's so disrespectful.
It is. It's so disrespectful. I would, you know, I love Cecily and I love all the cast members, but I would never even do that to them, even if I had the chance.
There are so many things that we have seen in the studio that I would love to have a video of, but right. We don't because we don't do that.
I fully turned my phone off in
you
the studio.
You should turn it off.
Yeah. Anyway, so the page got their attention. She basically, like, went off on them.
Yeah.
And so don't take pictures in the studio.
And can I just say, her friend who she was with was disruptive during the show.
Yeah, please don't sit there and yell out things during the show or during Weekend Update. You're not being funny. You're being very
and, like,
disrespectful.
We all think that you're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to react.
It's not your job to...
to say, this doesn't belong on SNL.
Or no, or stuff like that. It's not your job in the audience to report back stuff verbally.
It's heckling.
Heckling, yeah.
Don't
do
that.
This isn't stand-up. Like, I get it. This is SNL. It's not stand-up comedy at a show. This is... and I get it's not live TV, but it's still... please show some damn respect. Like,
it was just very frustrating because both of them, they were together. Mm-hmm. They were friends, and they were both ridiculously disrespectful. It just hurt my feelings,
yeah.
Is all.
Please don't ever act like that in the studio, you guys.
Yeah. So how was your line experience, Jill?
Good. Oh, boy. We have a lot to talk about.
I was about to say
it was good, and then it dawned on me, and I was like, oh, boy. We have a lot of change to talk about.
So first things first.
Where do we begin?
So it turns out we had one person, I think. There were a couple of people, I think, who came on Thursday, maybe Thursday night. They started on 6th Ave.
Which was completely unneeded for this line.
It was a short line.
People that got in line at 6:30 a.m.
Got
tickets and got into the show. Yeah. And I say 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning.
And we know them and we watch them come in.
Yeah,
so. But the line started when it started on Thursday night. It was on 6th Ave.
Well, it started on 48th. Those, like, two people started on 48th and then were moved to 6th.
And then after that, they were moved back to 48th on Friday morning, was it?
Yeah.
I think.
Early Friday morning. Yep.
I think Arlene said 7:30 they were woken up.
Yep.
And they moved back to 48th. Then at 7 p.m. Friday evening, we were moved to 49th Street under the NBC awning.
What? They came out. Like, the pages came out, and our friend Aubrey was already there, and she texted us because we were on our way, and she was like, they said they're going to come out and move the line to 49th. And we were both like, okay, probably, like, whatever. I mean, that's...
We kind of were like, all right, they're saying that, and they're not going to do it. But they did.
And did they do it ever? Like, they did it in full force.
They took, happened. 5 to 10 people in groups and sent them one group at a time over to 49th. There were barricades set up that
gave cards.
They did. They gave cards. There were barricades set up on 49th that had the SNL logo on them and, like, a vinyl cover.
Of it. Yeah, you might have already seen it, but...
Yeah, we do have a picture.
They ordered 100 of them. They're just black barricade covers with the SNL logo on them.
Yeah.
And I guess that's because we're on 49th and one of our security guard friends said it made it look better, I guess, as best as you can make.
Essentially, yeah.
As best as you can make a line of basically homeless looking people look.
But NBC Pages said they are going to do this every Friday night at 7 p.m. They will move us, I guess, off of 48th Street and onto 49th.
If you come other nights, which you shouldn't, I mean, everybody should show up on Friday pretty much, but, I mean, you know, sometimes you come early or whatever. They said it will be on 48th Street. The line will only move on Friday nights, like Amanda said, and they do a nice job of keeping it in order, though, because when they would take the... It took forever. It took, what, an hour and a half, maybe an hour?
A long time.
Yeah, basically when they took the 10 or whatever groups of 5 or 10 people, they handed out little cards that had letters on them like A, B, C, D. And then when it got to the next thing, it would go A, A, B, B. So you had a little card number. We ended up being like triple A or something. And
I think we were like triple C.
You basically had to pick up all your stuff, move it over to 49th, hand in your card, and they would make sure everybody's in the right order. So at least moving to 48th to 49th, they came up with a system to keep us in order. But they did say, just so you know, when they do begin to move the line at 7 p.m., if you're not there to get your card, you have to go to the back of the line. Like, so that was pretty intense.
That is pretty intense.
And yeah, but being on 49th was nice.
It's nice. The sidewalk is wider than
the
it is on...
barricades are cute.
Barricades are cute. The sidewalk is about the same width as 6th Ave, but it has way less foot traffic. It's quiet at nighttime.
Clean.
It's cleaner.
There's, no wind, not a lot of traffic.
The garbage truck doesn't roll out in the middle of the
bars.
Night.
No bars.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice. I like
it. The only thing I don't like about it is they put the barricades on the... edge of the street instead of behind you.
Didn't somebody mention they were going to change that though?
I think one of the security guards they were going to try maybe, but basically they had it so that you would have your back to the barricades and be facing the sidewalk instead of facing the street. Mm-hmm. So I was not too keen about that, but it ended up being nice overall. And I really enjoyed being on 49th and under the NBC logo. Did you like it?
Yeah,
did you
like
it better than 48th?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
it was 48th, very quiet.
48th is our home, but yeah, I like 49th.
It was like around, 2 a.m.? It was silent. It was very nice.
It was nice. So overall, I guess a good standby line experience.
Nobody needed tarps for anything because it wasn't raining, so we
It was so pleasant.
Yeah, but I was going to say, we don't know what they're going to say about draping things over these barricades on 49th. There were literally no security guards. We don't know what's happening with that. There was not one Rockefeller security guard out there. That being said, I would not risk things like bringing a tent and other things that aren't allowed.
Not without
don't
a plan B.
Yeah, plan B for sure. So we'll get back to you maybe next week, because I think rain is in the forecast. So we'll get next to you we'll get back to you next week if how they're gonna handle the tarp and barricade situation.
And now the time has come. We're gonna announce the winner of our very first giveaway situation.
Exclusive giveaway.
Exclusive. It's a signed cast photo.
How many signatures?
10.
10.
And we had 130 or more entries.
When I looked last today, it was 142.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, y'all. We took a video, which we will post on Twitter later
on.
At some point. But the winner is...
SNL Carly! Congratulations, SNL Carly.
Out of the 123 people, the simulator picked you. And it's very cool when something goes to somebody who's a super fan, which you seem like you are, SNL Carly.
Yeah, we jumped over to your Twitter after we pulled your name just so we could check it out. And you look like you genuinely love SNL. So we are so excited to get this picture to you.
And just so you guys know, we don't do anything biasly. We put everything, you'll see on the video, we put everything into a simulator and it picks the winner for us. So
yeah, just like our other giveaways, we've posted that video online. So it'll be on our Twitter.
And SNL Carly, if we don't hear from you in a couple days, we'll post it on Twitter. But hopefully we hear from you after listening to this. This episode will be out Tuesday.
Tomorrow.
So today's Monday, so it'll be out Tuesday. Whatever, you guys will be listening to it on Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
congrats, Carly.
Congratulations again, Carly. We are so excited.
I don't know if that's your name. I'm going to assume that's your name. And if you didn't win this one, do not worry. Have no fear. We have great news. What is it, Amanda?
We're doing another one?
Yes, which we already have done. So
mostly, yeah.
Mostly done. We have a couple more signatures we want to get, but we actually have another cast photo, which we'll be doing
maybe around
Christmas time or the beginning of the new year.
Winter holiday situation.
Yeah, maybe while SNL is on break. But we do have another one. So if you didn't win this one, there will be another chance.
And
don't
worry. And we're going to do giveaways for other things too. So.
And we seem to be having not too hard of a time getting these signatures. So maybe we can even do a third one at the end of the season.
Yeah, maybe so.
So don't be sad.
Yeah, just enter our next giveaways. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for them. In the meantime, don't forget to rate and subscribe to us on your podcast listening platforms. Please it really helps if you write a review on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StandbyLine on all three. And you can visit us online at snlstandbyline.com. If you have any StandbyLine experiences you'd like to share, please email those to us at snlstandbyline@gmail.com. You've been listening to this.
I want to get it in first.
Bye. You've been listening to The Standby Line. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jill. Bye. I got a birth. Bye.
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 Shut up.